生命呢是很奇妙的。
Life is amazing.
你知道呢，有一种青花呢，它叫木花。
You know that there is a frog that's called wood frog. Wooden frog.
Okay. 那它呢，冬天的时候呢，它会全身结冰的。
In the winter, the frog was totally frozen.
连他的心脏也停顿。
Even the heart was stopped.
你以为他死掉。
You might think that the frog's dead.
但是春天来了，他又活过来了。
And then when spring comes, it'll come alive.
植物呢更厉害。
And even plants even more amazing.
有人呢把一个2000年前的棕树的种子种在地上。
And someone took a very old seed and put in the ground.
那么它又发芽生长了。
It was sprouted and all started growing.
其实呢，属灵的生命呢是同一个道理。
And spiritual life is in a similar way.
就是呢，它在不同的环境里面呢，它会有不同的反应。
Under different circumstances, it will respond differently.
这个反应呢，是人的肉体的生命呢是没有的。
This is something that for a human being, the weak body would not have.
那么呢，我们今天呢已经看到了雅各书最后的一段了。
And now we are actually getting close to the last section of the book of James.
5:12里面呢，他讲到，我的弟兄们呢，最要紧的。
In verse 12 in chapter 5, he says, "Above all, my brothers and sisters."
所以呢，这段话就是雅各把它放在整卷书里面最后也是最重要的一段话。
So that's why James put that towards the end. It's also the most important.
因为呢，这段后面所讲的话呢，是一个我们说属灵的生命的查验呢最明显的一个查验。
Because it's one of the most obvious exam for spiritual life.
这个查验呢，就是你平时的反应。
And that is how you normally respond to daily life.
一个真正的基督徒呢，他平常会怎么反应呢？在第十二节里面呢，告诉我们，他平常就是会讲真话。
And how does a Christian respond normally? In verse 12, it says that a Christian will tell the truth.
12节讲到，我的弟兄们呢，最要紧的是不可起誓，也不可只做天起誓，也不可只做地起誓，无论何事都不可起。
In verse 12, it says, above all, brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven, nor by earth, or anything else.
有人以为呢，这段经文的意思呢，就是基督徒在任何情形底下都不可起誓。
And someone thought that a Christian under all circumstances cannot swear.
那么我们可能觉得，哎，怎么办呢？比方说你要去法庭啊，比方说你要移民的时候，你都必须要。算是的嘛，那么怎么办呢？我们基督徒。
Then we might think that what do we do when we go to the court of law and when we actually take care of immigration matter? We all have to take an oath.
其实呢，这段经文不是这个意思。
But actually, the scripture is not like this.
如果你看圣经的时候，你会发觉神在圣经里面也告诉我们呢，他自己也启示。
So if you look at the scripture, you see that even God Himself would swear.
所以呢，这段经文是什么意思呢？
So what does this scripture tell us?
你就要了解为什么当时的人要发誓了。
You have to understand why those people at that time need to swear.
你知道为什么？
Do you know why?
因为他平常讲话没有人相信他嘛。
Because when they normally talk, nobody would believe them.
好像一个赌徒很喜欢赌钱的一个人呢，他走投无路的时候来找你借钱。
So it's almost like a gambler at the end of his rope, he would come to you and try to borrow some money.
那么你就告诉他，我借钱给你以后，你又拿去赌了，
You might tell them, if I loan you money, you're just going to go along and go gambling it.
那么这个人呢，他说还不会的。
But this person will tell you, no, I won't.
那么你就告诉他，你上一次也是这样子讲啊。
And you might tell them, last time you said the same thing.
那么这个人会怎么做？
And what would this person do?
那么我上天发誓，如果呢我再去赌呢，我就怎么怎么怎么样。
And then you might say, I would point to the heaven and swear if I do that again, I would so and so and so.
所以呢，当时为什么这些人他要发誓呢？的原因就是他平常没有讲真话。
And why do these people need to swear? Because normally during the normal time that they would not tell the truth.
所以十二节的重点呢，其实是在后面的这句话。
So the more important points of verse 12 is actually in the latter part.
你们说话是就说是，不是就说不是，免得你们落在审判之下。
All you need to say is a simple yes or no, otherwise you will be condemned.
一个基督徒平常就是会讲真话。
A normally Christian would, under normal circumstances, would say the truth.
当圣经讲到了我们讲真话的时候呢，当然是包括我们不撒谎。
And the scripture talks about when we actually say the truth, of course that includes that we don't lie.
但是我也包括我们不会误导别人。
Mislead. Oh, and also meaning that we don't mislead others.
也不会隐藏这个真相。
And also not hiding the truth.
为什么基督徒不会这样子做呢？
And why is it that Christians cannot do that?
因为下面讲到免得你们落在审判之下。
And what says in the bottom, in the towards the end is otherwise you will be condemned.
这个世界上面呢，很多人可以用言语的技巧去欺骗你。
And in this world, a lot of people can use some skills with the language to mislead you.
以至到一个地步呢，法庭也不能判他有罪。
To the point that even the court of law would not say that he's guilty.
但是基督徒不会做这些事情。
But Christians would not do such a thing.
因为他知道，如果他不讲真话的时候，将来他过不了神的审判。
Because he knows that if he doesn't tell the truth, eventually he cannot pass God's judgment.
因为我们的神呢，是查验我们的心的。
Because of God examines our heart.
另外一个原因呢，我想。为什么人会发誓？
Another reason why I think that why man would actually swear?
原因就是呢，我们希望用发誓这个方法跟神做一个交易。
And we might think that we want to use this method of swearing and actually bargain with God.
比方说，有人说，神啊，如果你救我的儿子，我就把我的儿子奉献给你。
Someone might say, if you curse my child,
save my child.
If you save my child, then I would actually turn my child over to you.
Okay, 这种发誓呢的动机呢，很可能呢是跟我们讲到这段的背景有关系的。
So this is actually ties into the background of what we talk about.
那我们上次讲到七到十一节的是讲到基督徒受苦。
And the previous four verses is about we study is about suffering.
后来十三节里面呢也再次讲到受苦的事情。
And then verse 13 is also talk about suffering.
所以呢有可能呢就是这些人在受苦当中的时候呢，他希望用发誓这个方法去跟神好像做一个交易。
So perhaps during the suffering time that these people might want to use that as a bargaining with God.
所以呢，雅各其实提醒我们，这个也不应该是我们基督徒在受苦的时候的反应。
And James also tells us that this should not be the response that we have during suffering.
那么你问了，基督徒受苦的时候，他的反应应该是怎么样呢？
So you might say, what should the Christian's response be when he suffered?
那么十三节就讲到了，你们中间有受苦的，就该祷告。
So verse 13 it talks about here is anyone among you in trouble, let them pray.
有喜乐的就该歌颂。
Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise.
那如果 你看这段经文的时候呢，我们看下一章，你就会知道呢，这个其实是讲到我们平常生活的经历的一个我们叫一个光谱。
So you can, if you look at this, it's almost like the spectrum of how normally daily life in terms of our experience.
你从最苦的到最喜乐的都包括在里面了。
And from the time of actually suffering the most to the time of actually rejoice the most, all included in here.
那么我们基督徒的反应应该是怎么样呢？他说你受苦的时候你就祷告，那么 你喜乐的时候呢，你就过颂神，其实你就是用祷告去赞美神。
So what should a Christian's response be? And when you are suffering, then you pray. When you're happy, then you should sing songs of praise.
所以一个基督徒的生命呢，第一个表现就是他凡事祷告。
So the manifestation of a Christian's life is should be praying all the time.
无论他在忧在其里面，他都会用祷告是他第一个反应。
Regardless of whether when he is in worrying or enjoy, the first response should be praying.
我们有一些人呢，他们能够在喜乐里面呢去祷告赞美神。
And then for some of us, during the time of joyous occasion, that we would pray and thank the Lord.
事实上呢，很多人他们成为一个基督徒的原因，就是因为神听他的祷告。
In fact, a lot of times when people become Christians is because he
God
answered prayer.
但是呢，同一批人里面呢，有当他们遇到困难的时候呢，其中有一些他们就放弃神了。
And for the same group of people, when they actually encounter sufferings, they would actually give up on their God.
所以呢，就好像耶稣曾经讲过呢，在前途上面的种子一样。
So it's just almost like it's just like the Jesus parable about the seeds that fell on the shallow soil.
另外一些人呢，他在苦难里面呢，他会记得祷告。
But for some, when he is under suffering, he will continue to pray.
但当神把他心里面所要的东西给他以后，他太高兴以后就不记得神。
But yet when God gave him what's in his heart, he was so happy that we forget about God.
一个真正的基督徒都不应该有这样子的反应。
A true Christian should not have a response like that.
一个真正的基督徒，他无论他在痛苦里面，他喜乐里面，他都是凡事祷告。
And for true Christians, whether it be in suffering or being happy, it should be praying all the time.
十四节到十八节呢是另外一个题目。
And verse 14 and 18 is a separate topic.
这个其实这个题目就是祷告。
And actually, this topic is prayer.
很明显的，因为祷告这个字出现了五次。
And it's very obvious because the word prayer appears 5 times.
雅各是希望用一个特别的例子去解释祷告。
James wants to use a special example to explain about prayer.
但是呢，我们因为我们不同的背景、不同的传统呢，会影响我们看这段圣经的了解。
But yet our prayer and the background and traditions may affect how we interpret these verses.
结果呢，我们很多人误解了这段经文的意思。
And a lot of people misunderstand the meaning of this scripture.
或者呢，他不把这段圣经应用在他的生活上面。
Or else he did not apply this verse into his daily life.
我举几个例子的对这段经文的解释。
Let me give you an example of how you interpret these verses.
比方呢，天主教对这段经文的了解呢，就是用在一个圣礼上面叫并解涂油的这个圣礼上面。
And then for Catholic Church, it interpret is in terms of ordinance called extreme unction.
这个其实就是一个人快要死的时候，这个神父会为他抹油祷告。
And that is for someone who is about to die, the Catholic father would actually anoint him with oil and pray for him.
灵恩派的人呢，他相信呢，这段经文就是支持他们信心医治 faith healing 的讲法。
For the charismatic groups, they interpret this as a faith healing.
另外一个极端呢，就觉得其实这段经文不是什么特别的，只是讲到一个一般的药物的治疗。
Another interpretation is that perhaps more extreme is also just a typical medicinal treatment.
所以呢，我希望呢，今天呢，我们把我们的背景传统好像一个包袱一样放下来。
So hopefully we will remove a lot of understanding and the traditions background as if we are removing certain kind of baggage.
我们就是好像查考圣经，那么你看看这段经文，问一些问题，你觉得这段经文是？告诉你什么
So we'll take a look at the scripture as we're studying it and ask some questions and see how these questions are answered.
那我们看第一样事情 这段经文其实很简单，他就讲到了有一个人病了，他就去找教会的长老为他祷告，那么神就把这个人医好。
And this is actually a very simple scripture and it's like someone who's sick came to church and asked for the elders and then this person is healed.
那首先一样事情呢，我们可以肯定呢，这个人呢是病了，不是一个心灵上面的软弱。
One thing we can confirm is that this person is truly sick rather than something in its heart, actually there's some certain kind of weakness.
因为呢，他在他讲十四节讲到病了，跟十五节讲到的病人这个字，两个字加起来，你可以肯定这个人真的身体上面患病了。
Because we look at the word sick and sick person in 14 and 15, we know that for sure this person is sick.
第二样事情，你观看，我们再看下一个，就是呢，他病的时候呢，就去找教会的长老祷告。
So another thing we can be sure is that when this person is sick, he called on the elders of the church to pray over them.
Now, 你看到这句话的时候，你有什么反应？你有什么问题你可以问呢？
So once you look at this, and if you have any questions, you can ask.
那你可以问为什么他自己不祷告呢？
You can ask, well, how come he didn't pray himself?
为什么他自己不去教会，要请教会的长老找他呢？
Why didn't he actually go to the church, but yet?Ask the elders in the church to come to him.
有没有可能呢？就是这个人的确是病得比较严重，他不能自己去教会了，要请教会的长老来到。
So is it because this person is so ill that he cannot go to the church and he have to ask the elder in the church to come to him?
那所以呢，就让我们问下面一个问题啊：如果你病得很重的时候，你会找谁啊？
So it begs the following question: Is if you're really ill, who are you gonna find?
你会找谁啊？你家里面有人病了，你找谁、啊、
？If someone in your home is ill, who are you gonna call?
找医生啊，当然。
Of course, calling the doctor.
但是他没有啊。
But he didn't do that.
那所以呢，这段经文一定不是讲到一个药物上面的治疗怎么简单。
So perhaps it's not about something that is a problem medically, something that's simple.
还有一个事情哦，如果好像灵恩派的人所讲的，这个是一个灵恩的医治的时候，你说他应该去找谁呢？
So if you are actually the interpretation of for the charismatic church, with this kind of faith healing, Who should he be asked calling on?
找谁啊？
不，
找有一个弟兄姊妹，他有灵恩的，有一个医治恩赐的人嘛。因为这个灵恩的意思就是你有不同的恩赐，其中一个恩赐是医治嘛，你要找这类的人才可以医好他。
So he should be asking for someone who has the power to do faith healing so that he can be healed.
但是他没有啊，他却找一个长老，教会的长老来。
So, but he didn't. He called on the church and then called the elder in the church.
所以呢，你会 了解这个长老在这件事情上面呢是有一个特别的角色的。
So you can see that the elder in this situation has a special role.
那么我们再看下去的时候呢，这个长老来了以后，他做了三件事情。
So you see that when the elder came, that he did three things.
第一就是奉主的名。
The first one is according to the name of the Lord.
第二就是用油摸他。
The second is to anoint him with oil.
最后就是为他祷告。
The third thing is, it's about praying for them.
那在我们研究希腊文的人来说呢，你怎么知道这句话哪一个是它的重点呢
？So for someone who study Greek, how do you know which one is the most important point?
你就看它的动词在哪里了。
And you look at where the verb is located.
唯一的动词就是祷告。
And the only verb is pray.
抹油呢，我们说它是一个分词 participle。
And the word anoint is actually a participle.
所以你知道呢，他所强调的就是祷告。
So you see the emphasis here is about praying.
其实呢，你不需要了解希腊文，你也了解这个是一定是讲到祷告，因为它下面一直在讲呢，就是有关祷告的教训。其他有关抹油啊这些事情，他都没有在讲。
And even if you may not know Greek.You can see that this is all about praying because it's afterwards all about talking about prayer.
所以呢，你不要去研究了。哎，这个是什么油呢？这些是什么油呢？就是药油啊，就是我们中国人就是这万金油啊，是什么油？这不用了解了。
So you don't need to try to figure out what kind of oil or ointment it is.
所以呢，天主教的这个extreme unction 这个讲法呢，其实我想可能性也是很低的。
So when you take a look at it, the Catholic Church, the ordinance of extreme unction, the likelihood is very low.
所以剩下来的他还有一句话嘛，就是呢，奉主的名的祷告，奉主的名。
So another part is that it's just you did it, you ask him according to the name in the name of the Lord.
那我现在问你了，我们做什么事情的时候会奉主的名呢
？So what do you do? Let me ask you this. What do you do when you actually call in the name of the Lord?
什么事情呢
？What kind of things would you do?
祷告是不是？你每一天祷告的时候，最后一句话就是奉主的名祷告嘛
？Of course, praying. When actually every time you end your prayer, you end with it according to the name of the Lord.
还有在圣经里面呢讲到呢，就是，信徒呢他赶鬼啊、疫病的时候呢，他会奉主的名。
So the scripture also talk about when the Christians would conduct exorcism, they would also use call on the name of the Lord.
那这一类呢，都我说的是个人性的。
But this is all these in about on a personal level.
嗯，还有一种我们奉主的名的时候会做的。
And what is another thing that you would do that you would invoke the name of the Lord?
你们七个人里面应该有一个人会记得了。
Within all seven people, one of you should remember.
受浸的时候，我不是说我现在奉父子圣灵的名为你们受浸吗
？When it was baptized, was it not actually just using the name according to the name of the Lord and be baptized?
所以呢，这个这个呢，就是这个是教会的教会全体做一个事情的时候，我们会奉主的名。
So when we the church do something corporately, then we will say according to the name of the Lord.
那所以呢，如果呢你把所有资料放进去的时候，你会发觉他是请教会的牧师来奉主的名为他祷告。所以呢，这边所讲的其实是一个教会的祷告。
So we can see that that the church would come to him according to the name of the Lord. So this is really about a corporate prayer.
这个牧师是代表教会来到这个人面前为他祷告。
This pastor we came in the name on behalf of the church and pray for him.
所以我相信呢，其实他是告诉我们。教会一直祷告的时候呢，所发出来的力量呢是很大的。
So we can tell us that when the church pray together, there's an extreme power.
所以他上面说，神会救这个病人，主必叫他起来。
So it follows that God would actually allow this actually person who's sick to rise up.
在圣经里面呢，也告诉我们呢，教会的祷告的力量是很大的。
And the scripture tells us that the church prayer has immense power.
这个呢，就是也是这个又是这、就是为什么我们教会星期三的有教会的祷告会。
And that is why on Wednesday we have a prayer meeting in the church.
因为我们相信呢，当教会的弟兄姊妹一起来到神的面前去祷告的时候呢，我们的祷告是大有功效的。
Because when we know that when we come together and pray, this has an immense power.
你知道呢，主耶稣建立教会的时候呢，给教会一个很大的权力。
You know when Jesus established the church, he gave the church a huge power.
马太福音十六章十八节讲到，我要把我的教会建造在这磐石上，阴间的权柄不能胜过它。
In Matthew 16:18, it says, "Under this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it."
所以呢，我鼓励大家参加教会的祷告会。
So I want to encourage you to attend the prayer meeting of our church.
把你心里面的重担，无论是生病呢，你是在苦难里面呢，好像我们从前有人找不到工作啊，家庭里面的问题啊，你都可以带来教会我们一起祷告。
So we can actually bring all your concerns and family problem or actually in some cases not able to find a job.Bring them to church so we can pray together.
有的时候其实我可以告诉你，我也不是觉得去祷告会呢是一个很兴奋的一件事情。
And I can tell you now that sometimes when I go to prayer meeting, it's not something I'm very excited about.
但是为什么我还是去呢
？But why is it I still go?
就是因为当你把你心里面所需要的，在我们一起祷告的时候。神真的会回应我们的祷告。
But when you actually bring forth the needs in our hearts together, God will indeed answer our prayer.
有的时候呢，神就是把你的重担拿去了，你就不会感受到这个压力了。
And sometimes God will remove our burden, so you don't feel the burden.
有的时候呢，就是过了一段时间之后，神为你解决这个问题了。
Or also sometimes after a certain time.God will solve this problem for you.
有的时候呢，是神给你力量，你知道呢，你不怕这个困难，你可以走过去。
And then sometimes God give us strength, and you're not concerned that this problem, and then be able to overcome that.
所以我鼓励大家能够参加我们教会的祷告会。
So I encourage you to attend our corporate prayer meeting.
最后一点呢是十五到十八节。
And the last point in the from verse 15 to 18.
就是一个真正的基督徒呢，他明白祷告蒙应允的原因。
A true Christian will understand how God answers prayer.
有关你的祷告神应允不应允呢？有三个因素会影响的。
Whether or not God would answer your prayer is affected by three points.
第一个呢，就是十五节里面讲到，出于信心的祷告要救那病人，主必叫他起来。
And then the first one is faith, and the prayer often faith make the person well, and the Lord will raise him up.
所以呢，这个因素就是信心。
The fact is, first factor is faith.
所以呢，如果呢，你回去看雅各书的时候呢，我们就。你就记得呢，当雅各讲到信心的时候呢，是讲到我们一点也不疑惑的。
So we have to go back and look at it, and when you look at faith, it actually there's an unshakable faith.
所以，如果你能够坚持不疑惑的祷告的时候，神会听我们的祷告哦。
So if you have a faith that you don't doubt, God will answer a prayer.
所以我们就问一个问题了。 怎么可以有这子不疑惑的祷告呢？
So you may ask the question, how do you have an undoubting faith?
有人以为呢，如果我们表现得很迫切，或者呢，就是常常重复的这个祷告，那么你就是很有信心了。
And some people believe that if you actually pray very earnestly or repeat it over and over again, that is that means you have a lot of faith.
有一些人呢，甚至认为呢，我可以，当我有这个行动做出来的时候呢，这证明我的信心是真实的。
And some would say that I have actually carried out with action that proves that I have the faith.
他用，你可以说呢，他用他的行动去逼神去听他的祷告。
So in a way, he's using his action to force God to listen to his prayer.
我看过一个例子，是三个韩国的姊妹的例子。
And I actually saw one example with the three Korean Christian sisters.
他们相信呢，只要你有信心，神就会应允你任何的祷告。
They believe that if you have the faith, God will answer any prayers you have.
包括你可以走在 水面上面，好像主耶稣一样。
Including that you can walk on water just like Jesus.
所以这三个姊妹就手拉手的走到一个河边里面，就是这样子走出去。
So the three sisters with holding hand in hand come to a river and continue to walk out.
他以为这个就是一个不怀疑的一个祷告。
They believe this is an undoubting prayer that was with faith.
很可惜，他们就是坚持淹死了。
Unfortunately, they were drowned this way.
所以，怎么是一个真正出于信心不疑惑的一个祷告呢？
So what is a prayer that comes from faith that's without any doubt?
我相信呢，其实一个真正在圣经里面的信心，你基本上建立在三样事情上面。
I believe that undoubting faith can actually build on three things.
第一，这个是神的应许。
And this is number one. This is what God had promised.
如果圣经上面有一个明显的应许，那么你可以把你的信心建立在这个应许上面。
If God, if the Scripture has a very clear promise, then you can build your faith on this promise.
第二就是神的属性。
And the second one is God's character.
因为你知道神是一个怎么样的神，虽然神没有明显的告诉你他会做什么事情，但是你可以相信这个神会，因为他的属性，他做某一样事情。
But because you know what kind of God he is, based on his character, you know what he's going to do.
第三呢，就是神的旨意。
And the third one is God's will.
如果你知道这个是神的旨意的时候呢？那么你就知道这个事情必定发生。
Because if you know this is God's will, then you know this event is going to take place.
这个就是呢，雅各书四章十五节里面讲到，主若愿意，我们就可以活着，可以做这事。
And that is what we referred to earlier and say, if it's God's willing, we will live and do this and that.
从前呢，在 T4C 的教会里面呢。有一个粤语的牧师叫方牧师。
And the T4C years ago, there was a pastor called by the name of Pastor Fong.
他最后患了一个病，我们叫 ALS.
At the end, he actually contracted a disease we call it ALS.
这个是一个他神经呢受感染了，所以他最后呢，他所有的肌肉会。僵硬，不能动的。
So the manifestation of this illness is that all his muscle was stiffened, cannot move.
所以他最后就是这种病的人呢，就会简直死，是慢慢的死，也是很痛苦的一种死。
It's a slow death, and it's also a painful death.
那么当时教会知道他患了这个病的时候，那么。全教会，特别我们粤语的这部分的弟兄姊妹，就为他祷告。
So when the church knew about this, especially the Cantonese congregation would pray for him.
当时方牧师呢，他给我们一个回答，让我明白今天这段经文的意思。
At that time, Pastor Fong gave me a response, so I now understand what August means.
他说呢，神一定会医治他。
He said God will for sure heal him.
但是呢，神有三个可能性，可以用三个不同的可能性去医好他。
But God may use one of three possibilities to heal him.
第一就是慢慢的医好他。
And the first one is to heal him gradually.
这个就是通过医生啊、吃药啊这些方法。
And the first one is through medication and through the doctor.
第二呢，就是立刻的医好他。立刻就是 immediately。
Okay. And then the second one is he would be healed immediately.
这个就是好像一个神迹一样，他马上就好过了。
It's just like a miracle. He would be healed instantaneously.
但是他说，神也可以完全的医好他。
And God also can completely heal him.
他的意思就是，当他死后的时候，神会给他一个身体是没有疾病、没有痛苦、没有死亡的。
And that is when he passed away, God will give him a body that is without any pain, without any problem.
结果神是选择第三个方法医好他。
But at the end, God chose method number three to heal him.
这个就是我想是。十五节里面的意思，十五十六节的里面的一个意思。
And this, I think, is really revealed in the verse 15 and 16.
当十五节最后讲到了主必叫他起来，这句话你也可以解释的，就是将来神叫这个人从死里面复活过来。
And let's talk about exactly he will rise again. And this is maybe eventually during the resurrection days.
所以呢，第二个影响我们的祷告蒙应允的原因呢，就是我们的罪。
And the second reason why God would not answer our prayer is actually sin.
这个呢，就是十五十六节里面所讲的。
And this is what's talked about in verse 15 and 16.
他讲到呢，你若犯了罪，也必蒙赦免。所以呢，你们要彼此认罪，互相代求，使你们可以得医治。
In verse 15 says, if you have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed.
圣经告诉我们呢，有一些病呢，是因为人犯罪所产生的。
The scripture tells us that certain kind of illnesses comes about as a result of sin.
最明显的例子呢，就是我们圣餐的时候常常念一段经文呢，讲到，因为他们不按理守圣餐的时候呢，有一些人就病，甚至死了。
And the obvious thing is, when we are having a holy communion, some people do not follow the rules, and therefore they have fallen asleep.
所以呢，如果这一类的病的时候，他解决的方法，那么就是必须要解决他的罪。
And for this kind of illness, the way to heal it is to address the sin.
解决罪的方法就是认罪。
And the only way, the way to address sin is to confess the sin.
这你告诉我们，不单只在神面前认罪哦，你也有对这些弟兄姊妹，就是特别就是你得罪的弟兄姊妹，你要彼此的认罪。
Not only about confessing your sin to God, but also confess your sin to the brothers and sisters that you have offended.
当我们这样子做的时候，神你就可以得医治。
And when you do that, you can be healed.
你知道我讲到之前最怕发生的一件事情是什么？
You know what the last thing I want to have happen the way before.I preach a sermon.
就是我跟我太太吵架。
That is so that when I fight with my wife.
因为彼得前书里面呢，告诉我们呢，如果你不按你跟你妻子同住的时候呢，连你的祷告也会受难阻的。
First Peter tells us that if you're actually having problem with your wife, that your prayer will be hindered.
提摩太前书二章八节里面呢，保罗也讲到呢，我愿男人无愤怒、无争论，举起圣洁的手，随处祷告，
And 1 Timothy also says, therefore I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing.
耶稣提醒我们，当我们亲近神的时候呢，神会有的时候提醒你，你心里面的罪。
And then, sometimes when we get closer to God, He would remind us of the sin in our heart.
就好像呢，马太福音里面讲到，你来到神面前的时候，你想起弟兄向你怀怨，你要做的事情呢，就是把你的礼物先放下，跟你的弟兄和好，再回来神面前去敬拜他。
You said basically, if you're offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, you can leave your gift there in front of the altar and go and be reconciled to them, then come back and offer your gift.
我知道呢，向人认罪呢是一个很间接的这个。我很不喜欢的做的一件事情，很 embarrassed 的一件事情。
I know that actually come to someone to admit the sin is actually a very difficult thing. It's a very also a very embarrassing thing to do.
但是你要知道啊，16节里面讲到了，义人的祷告所发的力量是大有功效的。
But you can see that in verse 16, this prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective.
我相信。当你解决你心里面的罪的时候，来到神面前的祷告的时候，不但只神可以医治你的罪，他也可以解决你生命上面其他的困难。
When you actually come before and pray, not only can your sin can be forgiven, but also other problems in life can be addressed as well.
最后一个影响我们祷告的因素就是神。
And the third factor that will affect our prayer is God.
这个呢，17-18节里面呢，雅各引用了一个例子，就是以利亚。
In the verse 17-18, James used an example, and that is Elijah.
以利亚呢，在旧约圣经里面呢，可以说是一个最出名的一个圣经，先知。
And Elijah in the Old Testament is a very famous prophet.
我们看圣经的时候，觉得他是一个祷告的超人呢。
When we read the Bible, we see him as a prayer superman.
他祷告，天不下雨；他再祷告，天也下雨。
When he prayed, the sky the rain would fall. When he prayed again, the rain would stop.
但是呢，你从雅各的角度呢，他说，其实以利亚跟我们一样哦。
From the James' point of view, Elijah is no different from us.
所以他的意思就是，只是祷告成不成功，不在乎这个人，只是是在乎神。
And therefore, whether or not prayer will be successful is not based on according to men, but rather on God.
我们祷告蒙应允呢，是在乎神的能力，在乎神的旨意，只是也在乎神的时间表。
And when we have answer prayer, it's according to God, how His power, His timetable.
那如果你记得以利亚这个故事的时候
，And if you remember the story of Elijah,
你就记得呢，在列王记上18章里面呢，他一开始就是说，神告诉以利亚，你要去见这个王。那么呢，神就要降雨在地上。
If you look at the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, you say, God told Elijah and say, you go see this king, and then put rain on the ground.
那所以很明显呢，神的旨意就是要下雨。
So it's very obvious that God's will is to have rain.
但是如果你看这个故事后面的时候。以利亚祷告几次才下雨。
But if you look at the whole story, Elijah to pray a few times before it rains.
只是他反复祷告次次，那么雨才下来。
But actually he prayed back and forth for 7 times and then the rain came.
所以我们明白，其实呢，就是这个是神的旨意的时候，我们祷告的时候也要等候神的时间表。
So we know that when we this is with God's will, even when we pray, we have to wait for God's timetable.
这个其实就是我们一个真正的基督徒对平常生活的一个反应。
And this is what a Christian ought to have with normal daily life.
一个人里面有没有神的生命呢？你可以从他平常的反应里面看出来。
And wonder whether or not one has got a Christian life, we can see how he responds to daily lives.
因为他的反应，让我们了解他对神的认识。
So because his response reveals how much he understands God.
他讲真话，因为他知道神是无所不知的。
He speaks the truth because he knows God is all-knowing.
他也知道神将来要审判他。
He also knows that God will judge him eventually.
他凡事祷告，因为他知道了神是大能的神，也是看顾他的神。
He prays in all things because he knows God, knows all things and also look after him.
他会看重教会的祷告，因为他知道这个是耶稣给教会的应许。
He will look upon the church corporate prayer is very important because he knows that this is what God gave the church.
他也知道了一个人的祷告是受他信心、受罪，还有受神的影响。
Because he knows that the prayer is is affected by the faith and the sin and also God.
他愿意接受神的旨意。
He was willing to accept God's will.
他愿意去等候神的时间表。
He's willing to wait for God's timetable.
我们最后一同祷告。
Let's bow our hands.
亲爱的天父，我们谢谢你。
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you.
因为雅各书五章这段经文的确是神给我们一个很大的一个应许。
Because in James 5 is actually a great promise that God you gave us.
告诉我们可以在平常生活里面凡事祷告。
That we would pray in all things during the daily life.
我们也知道，当我们奉主的名全教会一直祷告的时候，其实这个力量是很大的。
That we come before you and with a corporate prayer according to your name, this has tremendous power.
愿我们经历神在我们生命当中的改变。
Allow us to experience God you have changed in our lives.
听我们祷告，奉耶稣基督名求。
Listen to our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.